Blog Talk Radio.
Investigatory study group. And certainly by all indication, we certainly do need a whole lot of devotion, as the song alluded to. And what I'm What were I said by Trump today? Oh, nothing much. Other than the fact it seems like he's starring in a new movie. Death Returns to the White House. Truth be told. Yep. Well, be that as it may, let's get started in our studies, okay? May the Most High bless you. Before I do that, let me bring my friend and co-host on, fellow host, Cartrell from New York City. May the Most High bless you, Cartrell. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise and honor to the Most High God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. Shalom, Brother Yamsu Fahri. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend.
Yeah, yeah. You see, your man is out of the hospital, right?
He released himself. Dr. Trump released. I mean, this guy's playing all the major parts. He's playing the doctor. He's playing the helicopter pilot. He's playing the president. He's playing every major role in this movie.
And he finally gets it.
Yeah, whatever. After 210,000 lies, he finally gets it. Okay, all right. If you buy that, you're buying fake news, country.
I know it ain't fake, Ock.
What's that, brother?
That the Most High, he penetrates all defenses.
Exactly.
This man is in the most secure place in the world.
Exactly.
They consider him the most important man on the planet.
Exactly.
And guess what?
He penetrated.
Pandemic knocked on his door. He
right.
opened it.
Right. Penetrated all his defenses.
And now he gets it. Yeah, he got it, all right.
No, he got it. And he's gonna get some, he's gonna give a whole lot more, get it too, okay?
Him and his crew and his whole
yeah,
family.
All get it. I was talking to Abby the other day. I said I knew Caleb McEnany with her little lying behind was gonna get it sooner or later. You know, Most High don't like liars. All of them are liars, but she is just the bullhorn of the lions. And so I knew she wasn't gonna get it. It came as no shock when they said Caleb McEnany got it. I said, I'm not surprised. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. You see the concoction of drugs he's taking?
Man, that man on dope, man. That's a whole lot of dope. That man on dope, okay? Give me some of that dope. I feel like I can jump out that airplane, okay, that helicopter. You ain't got to take me. I'm going to fly to that White House. Give me a concoction of that country. Steroids. I mean, remdesivir.
What happened to the hydroxychloroquine? He was so...
Nah.
He ain't taking no hydroxy, man?
Nah, he ain't made no better than that, bro. Yeah, you take it if you fool enough to take it. No, he don't want no parts of that. He don't want no bleach? No, man, you hit it at the same time. No bleach injection or none of that. It man ain't stupid, man. Well,
yeah,
Cadrell, what's that, brother?
Yeah, you just got to watch, you know, how the Most High does his thing.
Exactly.
Like you said, Most High penetrated his secure office with his weapon.
Exactly.
There's no stopping it. And ain't no stopping it until the Most High say it's going to stop.
Truth be told, Cadrell. Truth be told.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's read about the Most High, shall we? Let's go to the book of Bereshit. I know not the Greek word Genesis, the Hebrew word Bereshit. 29th chapter, and we're going to get busy in our studies. Okay? May the Most High bless you, my fellow brothers and sisters and study buddies. Let us get started.
Are you sure 29 or 28?
29. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I, you know, my thinker was off today because I had to go. Remember, I always complain about my glasses, Cartrell.
Yeah.
So I went to the VA. They had all kind of protocols. Did you take the test? You had to do all this and that and the other. And my vision was 20/15. He said, that's pretty good. He said, but you don't need any glasses per se. You can use some reading glasses because I'm an avid reader. I've been reading since I was a little child. He said, well, you can use some reading glasses. So they prescribed me some reading glasses. I got some glasses like Malcolm X glasses. I ain't want none fancy. You know, I have Malcolm X glasses. Well, I got Malcolm. I call them Malcolm X glasses. So I got me some glasses, reading glasses like that. So if you catch me reading something every now and then, if when I come up that way, you say he finna take out his Malcolm X glasses and start reading. So let's get busy. Yaqub resumed his journey, and it came to the land of the Easterners. There before him, his eyes, a whale in the open. Three flocks of sheep were lying there beside it, for the flocks were watered by the whale. The stone on the mouth of the whale was large. When all the flocks were gathered there, the stone would be rolled away from the mouth of the whale, and the sheep watered, then the stone would be put back in it, its place on the mouth of the whale. Yaqub said to them, "My friends, where are you from?" And they said, "We're from Haran." And he said to them, "Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor?" And they said, "Yes, we do." He continued, "Is he well?" They answered, "Yes, he is. And there's daughter Rachel coming with the flock." And he said, you know, one thing important, let me start right there. See, all you guys, all you brothers, want to get little poodles sitting on a, pampered on a pillow. Rachel wasn't that type of sister. She was putting in work. You could see it. She was putting in work. She was bringing the flock to the well to be watered. She wasn't sitting at home eating bun buns and cupcakes watching reality shows. She wasn't watching The Housewife of Atlanta. The Atlanta housewife. The L.A. basketball player's housewife. No, this girl was about her business, doing something which was constructive and a positive. That's what I liked about Rachel. And I'm sure, fellow students, that you liked that about her too. She was studious in the sense that she put in work. She was just sitting at home, although she perhaps could have, but she elected to be out putting in work. That's what I liked about Rachel.
Bro, Yasu.
Yo.
Do you think it's easy to watch sheep, to be a shepherd?
Yeah, that is one. You know what? That is one of the hardest jobs to watch anything, to herd. And then I think sheep are a little bit better than cows, maybe goats. But it's a hard job to be watching them sheep, make sure they don't stray, make sure the animals don't get hold of them, make sure they don't get sick and whatnot. It wasn't just like she was just walking them. She had to watch out for them. She had to watch for wild animals. Some of them don't get away and whatnot. And so, yeah, that was very strenuous work that young woman was putting in.
What kind of wild animals are you talking about?
Whatever wild animal around there had a taste for sheep.
and lions.
And sometimes two-legged ones, too. Okay? So she had to watch out for a whole lot of wild animals. And sometimes they didn't always run around on four, too. So, I mean, there wasn't nothing soft about Rachel. That's one.
You know, that was King David's job before he became king, right?
Well, wasn't nothing soft about him. Wasn't nothing soft about King David. Just because he was a shepherd, don't take nothing from being a shepherd being soft, okay? Nothing about being shepherd is soft. And certainly being a sister, a female, in her regard, I mean, she's putting it equal weight just like a man, you know? And they said, and go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
She reminds us of Rebecca.
Rebecca. Yep. Hmm. In what regard, may I ask, Cartrell?
Rebecca was hauling water, right?
Yeah. You're right.
Putting camel.
Yeah, certainly. Right. She's putting in work,
too. Put a block.
She's putting in work, too. Yeah.
And the thing is that when Abraham's servant, what was his name? Eliezer.
Right. Uh-huh.
When Eliezer went to Laban's house the first time,
uh-huh,
it was no coincidence that he met Rebecca.
Right.
Because he was praying and she came.
Right.
When he was praying, you know, if this journey is, you know, deemed by my master, you know, and you approved, God of my master, let, you know, his family come out and such and so and so. And before he finished praying, what he was praying happened, because Rachel came out and asked him, you want me to water your camel? And she did.
Exactly.
So we've seen the same type of incident here. Jacob, he was sent to his father's house, to his family, and he gets to the well, and what happens? He runs right into Abraham's family, just like Eliezer.
Right. Rachel, his wife, one of his wives-to-be.
Yes.
Yeah. When you put your trust in the Most High, you know, you said something last week, everything is synchronized. Everything works in the way it's supposed to be.
Synchronicity.
Yeah. And he said, to them, do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? And he said, yes, we do. And he continued, is he well? And they answered, yes, he is. There's his daughter, Rachel, coming with the flock. And he said, it is still broad daylight, too early to round up the animals, water the flock, and take them to pasture. But they said, we cannot until all the flocks are rounded up. Then the stone is rolled away. See, we got to do this according to synchronization, like Katja. I know what you're saying, Yakub. It's a little bit too early, but now we can't just take that stone away by ourselves. So we got to round up all these flocks, everybody in the territory, and water these flocks, and roll the mouth of the well, and we water the sheep at one time. Everybody works together one time. You can't have nobody come along dragging along, else the flock ain't going to get watered. They got to come a certain period of time, water the flock, then we put the stone back. While he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's flock, for she was a sheepress. She was like a sheep herder. She had a job. She was shepherdess. She had a job, unlike some of our sisters today. they want to be basketball wives, Atlanta wives, and whatnot. But she had a real job. And when Yaakov saw Rachel, the daughter of his uncle Laban, and the flock of his uncle Laban, Yaakov went up and rolled the stone of the mouth of the well and watered the flock of his uncle. He returned to favor. You know, so he put in work. Then Yaakov
protocol.
Protocol. He put in work.
He broke.
He
broke protocol.
Right. He broke it. Because they were saying, well, everybody got to get up here. If they don't get here, they just ain't going to get yet. So he said, look here, man. That girl got a wall. Them my folks, man. So he rolled a stone away. Let up.
He
Rachel
supposed to wait till all the sheep came.
Exactly.
And then roll the stone.
He ain't care about none of that. Man, that's my folks, man. And she come in the water, and I'm make sure she get them flocks watered.
He moved the stone by himself. He ain't even know.
By himself.
How strong was he?
He was a mighty man. Whatever had some strength, man. And they said, we got to all roll this stone together. See, we can't do this by ourselves. That way everybody come and water together. Coach. See, we got to have all hands on deck to move that stone. And Jacques said, oh, man, say no more. I mean, throw the water. I can handle this. That boy was a Wakanda before that fake movie kind of Wakanda. He was a real Wakanda. He was a real Wakanda before the fake movie came out.
But he broke the protocol.
He broke protocol. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Sometimes you had to, Katja, break protocol. And,
no. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to respect protocols when you're in another man's land. He run into a strange land. He don't make the rules. The people make the rules. They should have killed him. Who told you to roll that stone, dude?
But the Most High didn't have no problem with it, because otherwise, the Most High had been with him, they'd have broke him up too. Since him breaking protocol, they'd have broke him up too. But, you know, hold on. I think a whole lot what kept him being saved was that he was by himself and picked that stone up. Hey, man, it took eight of us.
They thinking twice about attacking this guy.
You want to go up against him?
No, man, let that slide, man. Let's let that slide. One of him put that stone out the way and put it back. And it took eight of us? A how many? Oh, no, man, it's all right. It's all right. It's good. He all right. They went no flaw to him, as you can imagine. He was still speaking to them. Rachel came with her father's flock because she was a separatist. And when Yaakov saw Rachel, the daughter of his uncle Laban, and the flock of his uncle Laban, Yaakov went up and rolled the stone off the mouth of the well and watered the flock of his uncle Laban. Then Yaakov kissed Rachel, not like y'all thinking, like a family kiss. And he broke into tears. He was happy to see family. Yaakov told Rachel that he was his father's kinsman, that he was Rebecca's, her auntie's son. And she ran and told her father. On hearing the news, his sister, I told you I need those glasses, Katrin. On his sister's son, Zaku, Laban, ran to greet him. He embraced him and kissed him and took him into his house. He told Laban all that had happened. And Laban said to him, "You are truly my bone and flesh." And when he had stayed with him a month's time, Laban said to Yaakov, "Because you are a kinsman, should you serve me for nothing?" He was working. He was working the whole month time. He said, "But should you serve me for nothing? Tell me."
But you know why? You know why Laban ran out there to meet him, right?
Okay, tell me. She
told her father that Abraham's relative came to see them. The last time that happened, right, mm-hmm. with Eliezer,
right.
What did he come with?
Eliezer came with a whole lot of gifts.
Oh, yeah, that's what Laban was looking for.
So
like, here we go again.
Yeah, like, I'm going to get paid. But that was the case. But he did get paid. Yeah, he did get paid in a slick way because he tried to take advantage of Yaakov. Because he saw Yaakov didn't mind putting in work because he had worked a whole month even before he came to him with this. Laban said, "Yaakov, because you're a kinsman, should you serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be?" Now, Laban had two daughters. The name of the oldest one was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes. That don't mean she wasn't fine. She just had weak eyes. She couldn't see that good, just like Yom Suf right now. Rachel was shapely and beautiful. Yaakov loved Rachel, so he answered, "I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter. That's my wages." Laban said, "Better that I give her to you than that I should give her to an outsider. Stay with me. Put in work." So Yaakov served 7 years for Rachel. They seemed to him but a few days because of his love for Rachel. I didn't have that kind of love. I didn't have some. It took me like 1 hour. It took me 7 days to get away from her. 7 years to get away from her. I didn't have some love. It took didn't seem like a long time to get with him. And I've had some loves. Seemed like it took 7 years. 7 days, it seemed like 7 years getting rid of it. It's true. Then Yaakov said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my time, I've completed my contract. It's fulfilled, that I may cohabitate, where I may live with her." And Laban gathered all the people of the place and they had a marriage feast. When evening came, he took his daughter Leah, she was covered, and brought her to him, and he cohabitated with her. He knew her as Adam knew Eve. Laban had given his maidservant Zephla to his daughter Leah as her maid. But see, because it was dark back in them days, she didn't have porch lights and whatnot. And, she had a shield, a face on, and I guess Yaqub thought she was shy. He probably didn't have much to say. They probably schooled her, don't say nothing. Don't talk. Let him do all the talking and let him take care of business. And so he assumed that because of that, that when he woke up, hey, I got my fine Rachel, but that wasn't the case there. And he said, what is this? Have you done to me? I was in your service for Rachel. Why didn't you deceive me? Laban said, hey, hold on. Stop the press. This is not the practice. This is not the practice in our place where we live in, where we come from, in our hood, to marry the younger before the older. He said, okay, here's what I'm going to do for you because I like it so much. Wait until the bridal week of this one is over. You'll spend some time with her. The bride week is over. And we will give you that one too. I'll give you Rachel too, but you go ahead and put it where. I'm going to give it to you right off the bat. Provided you serve me another 7 years. I will give you that one too. So Raku said.
Yeah, I'm Sue.
Yo, huh?
So he could have told him the rules of the country before he tricked him with Leah, right?
He had no intention on telling the rules of the country.
Because they told him when he first came, these are the protocols and what did Jacob do? He broke them.
Yeah.
He said, when Jacob first met them, he said, this is how we do it.
Right.
We wait for everybody to come, and then we roll a stone, everybody drinks, and then we roll a stone back.
Exactly.
So Jacob heard the rule, right?
Right.
Did he listen to the rule?
No, he did not.
So that story went back to Laban. Laban said, all right, I'm going to use that against you because you don't follow the protocols of the country. So now he's breaking down the rules of the country. No, we don't do it like that, son.
No, we don't get out like that. That ain't how we do it here.
So he should have told him that from the jump. Right? He should have told him that from the jump.
If he meant right, he would have told him right. Because he knew that that wasn't the rule in that land. And he should have told him, hold on, no, Yaqub. That ain't how we do it. We marry off Leah first, man, before we marry off the younger. Now, if you want to work 7 years for Leah, then another 7 more for Rachel, I mean, we down with that.
Wait a minute. You're talking about two dowries, right?
Two dowries.
How long did he have to work in order to pay that off?
14 years in entirety.
To 14 get the years worth 14 of years. Work. For two wives.
For two wives.
How many brothers is willing to do that?
These brother ain't willing to work 14 days for some sisters, okay?
There you go.
He ain't willing to put in no work for those sisters. They the king of the castle. Hey, I'm something special. She need to come to me. Why? I don't have much, but I got a whole lot of sense. Man, that ain't going to take care of my daughter.
Right. What's the dowry? Yeah,
what's
at McDonald's?
Yeah. Well, she got food stamp, don't she? We can use her food stamp. Don't she get a little something for her little children she got? Well, we can use that. And I can work it out. We'll use her little money she got. And we'll use the food stamp she got for her little children. And they have support.
No. We broke the people, man. We're going to do it the way the white man do it. Daddy's going to pay for the wedding.
That's how they do it. That's how they doing it, brother.
Daddy paying for the wedding? Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Not culture.
Yeah.
Brother, you want to marry my daughter? Where's my dowry, son?
Exactly. First quarter. Okay. And let's
you got two daughters, man. So, brothers come up to you, man. Like, you got to, like, say, yo, we Eastern people, man. Where's my dowry for my two daughters?
Exactly. This ain't for free.
They're going to think you real crazy. Our dowry, what the heck is that? What are you talking about?
Wait,
go look it up.
Go Google it, okay?
Google it.
And Levin tells Yaqub, wait till the bride week. Let her have a bride week with you for this one. And when it's over, we will give you that. I'll give you that one too. Provide it. You serve me, he gave it to her, provided under the contract obligation that you serve me another 7 years. Jacob did so. And he waited at the bride week with Leah of the one, and then he gave him his daughter Rachel. See, a lot of folks think he had to wait an additional 7 years to get to Rachel. No, he didn't. He was given a contract. Okay, I see you're a man of honor, and you're going to keep your word. Now, you spend that week with Leah, provided our culture on the bride. Her bride, get her to know you, you get to know her and whatnot. And then, under this new contract, I'm going to go on give Rachel to you, provided under this new contract that you work for me. He didn't have to wait an additional, a total 14 years in time to get to Rachel. He got Rachel 7 years and 1 week after he got Leah, okay? And Laban gave his maidservant Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her maid. And you're going to find out why he's speaking about these maidservants, and they have a significant, prominent part in this nation. And Yaakov cohabitated with Rachel. Also, he loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served him another 7 years under the contractual obligation. The Elohim saw Leah was in love. The Elohim got feelings. He was feeling her. And he opened her womb, but he made Rachel's womb barren. Leah conceived and bore a son and named him the first tribe, Reuben. For she declared, it means the Elohim have seen my affliction and bore a son and declared. Now my husband will love me. She conceived again and bore the second tribe, a son, and declared, this is because the Elohim heard that I was unloved. Still this man ain't loving me. He's given me this one also. So his name is Salmon, the second tribe. Again, she conceived and bore a son and declared, this is my husband. This time, my husband will become attached to me, for I have borne him three sons. Therefore, she named him the priestly tribes. She had the third tribe, the priestly tribe, the Levites. She conceived again and bore a son and declared, she was working hard now. This time, I will praise the Elohim. Therefore, she named him Yehuda, the king's tribe. And then she started burying. Not in entirety, but at that time. But Rachel still hadn't conceived yet. But we're going to stop right there. And I'm going to let Cartrell give some commentary. We're going to move right on.
Oh, yeah, man, because this part right here, we just saw the naming of Leah's children by Jacob. We see that she had contention with the first three sons, and the Most High came to her because she was bringing forth these children. Leah conceived a boy son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, what did she say? Yah has surely looked on my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me.
Mm-hmm.
So she's battling with her sister, and it continues. Mm-hmm. Then she conceived again a boy son. He said, because Yah has heard my, I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also. And she calls his name Simeon. And then again, she conceived a boy son. Now it's time my husband. So she battling mm-hmm. for the love of her husband and naming her sons after the vibrations that she's having, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until she gets to Judah. She said, and she conceived again and bore a son and said, now, you stopping now. I will praise Yah. You should have been doing that from the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Therefore, she called his name Yehuda. Yehuda should have been the first name she came out her mouth with, right?
Right, right.
But she came out with Reuben because she's focused mm-hmm. on the fact that her husband loves her sister more than he loves her.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where the contention comes, and I have to show you this because names carry vibration.
Exactly.
And as a result of these vibrations that these wives of Jacob put on their son, conflict ensued with the sons, not just the mothers, but with the sons too. So
right.
I'm jumping ahead of the story, but
Right.
The significance of their names.
Exactly.
The vibration that was put into it. She's battling her sister, but the Most High is blessing her way before her sister's blessed.
And she can't see it. And she can't see it. Mm-hmm.
She finally saw it when she had Judah. It ain't about my husband. It ain't about my sister. It's about Yah, because he hears me, and I'm going to praise him.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be part of the reason why Judah became king of the nation, because he's the first to get that vibration amongst the sons of Jacob to praise the Most High.
Yeah. She was trying to please her husband in every comport. With the first two, the priestly tribe and Simeon and Reuben, but she finally got herself together, and she finally gave the honor that was due to the Most High, Elohim Yah, and that's when the kingly tribe was produced. You got to start off, y'all. Listen to me. You can't start off Yah on the end result. You got to start off with Yah. Elohim on the first quarter. You can't wait to the fourth quarter. You can't wait to the second quarter. You can't wait to the third quarter. And you can't wait to halftime. You got to start off with Yah the first quarter, okay? In order to end up winning the whole game. And I use the analogy of football because a lot of people have played sports and they can understand what I'm saying. You got to start off with Yah first quarter, not the second, not the third, not halftime, and certainly not the fourth. As Scott Trey alluded to, words have meaning and they have vibration. And by giving Yah the all praise and honor, she got the right vibration. All right, Scott Trey, fellow students, here's how it's going to go. I'm going to read about Job, the sixth chapter. Job complaining that he's just, he ain't did nothing wrong to Eliphaz. And after I read that, Katria is going to give some commentary, I suspect. And I'm going to bring Ima Hadoro, and she's going to make commentary. And after that, Katria was singing, but I guess it is singing. And that's what these psalms are for, singing to the Most High. He's going to read another lovely psalm, and we will continue on with our studies together. The good vibrations. All right. Turn to Job chapter 6. May the Most High bless you always by the reading and investigatory studies, and most importantly, the application of His Word. We can talk theory all day long, but we must have application in order to see what the Most High would have you see, the good vibrations. And even that being said, don't mean you ain't going to have no bad times, okay? As we would see, Job is complaining because of Eliphaz's chastisement of him. And Job answers and said.
Did you read chapter 5?
Yeah, I read that. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Then Job answered and said, "Oh, that my grief were fully weighted. Oh, that you had fully weighted everything. You considered the matter. And my calamity lay with it on a scale. And that you made the right scales on this. For then, it would be heavier if what you're saying is true than the sands of the sea. But you didn't make the right analysis and correction. Therefore, my words have been rash. For the sorrow... For the arrows of the Almighty are within me. My spirit drinks in their poison. The terror of Yah are arrayed against me. Does the wild donkey bray when it has grass? Or does the ox low over its food? Can favorless food be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? My soul refused to touch them. They are loathsome food to me. Oh, that I might have my request
that Yah would grant me the thing that I long for, that it would please Yah to crush me. I wish it would please Yah to crush me in these circumstances, that he would loose his hand and cut me off in these dire circumstances I find myself in. And some of you perhaps find yourself in same similar circumstances, that everything is not relative. What may be dire to me and may make me want to be cut off might not be dire to you. So everything is not relative in that effect, because what may affect Yom Suf to think like this and feel like to be crushed by Yah may not affect you. Everything is not relative in that effect. Everything is subjective to the person that is happening to. As Job is subjected to this, he feels it. Then I would still have comfort. Though in anguish, I would exalt. He would not spare me. I would exalt the fact that he would not spare me. For I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. I ain't kept Yah's word to myself. What strength do I have that I should hope? What strength am I have that I just should hope for nothing? And what is my end that I should prolong my life under these circumstances? Is my strength the strength of stones? Is my strength the way I'm feeling under these circumstances? The strength of stones. I can't handle this. Or is my flesh bronze with these boils, and I'm sitting in this dust from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet like I ain't got no feelings? Is my health within me? Can I do anything about this? And is success driven for me to him who afflicted? Kindness should be shown by his friend. See, you come in at Lesifer, putting me down. And you shouldn't be doing this. To him who is afflicted, kindness should be shown by his friend. You should be coming showing me some kindness. Even though he forsake the fear of the Almighty, even though I may have forsaken the fear of the Almighty, Elisaphah, you shouldn't have came at me like that. My brother have dealt deceitfully like a brook. Y'all three of y'all my brothers. Y'all dealt deceitfully like a brook, like the stream of the brooks that pass away, which are dark because of the ice, and into which the snow vanishes. And when it is warm, they cease to flow. Your love ain't flowing. When it is hot, they vanish from that place. Y'all done vanished from the place. Y'all supposed to be my friend. The path of their way turns aside. You've turned aside from me. They go nowhere and perish. What you're talking about ain't going nowhere and it's perishing. The caravans of Tema. And listen for you, Edomite. The caravans of Tema. Look, the travelers of Sheba. I hope for them. I wish I could feel them. They are disappointed. They are disappointed because they were confident. They come there and they are confused. For now, you are nothing. You see terror and you're afraid. You see my situation and you're afraid. And you think I did something wrong. And you come to make things worse for me than I already feel. Did I ever tell you, Elisaphah, to bring something to me? I ain't never asked you for nothing. Offer a bride for me, for your wealth, deliver me from the enemy's hand. I ain't never asked you for nothing. Or redeem me from the hand of the oppressors. I ain't never asked you for nothing, Elisaphah. But he says, teach me. Teach me then. Teach me you right, and I will hold my tongue. Cause me to understand why I'm in this situation, wherein I have erred. How forceful are right words, if your words are right? But what does your arguing prove? You come in to argue, fuss, and fight with me. But what does your arguing prove if I ain't wrong? Do you intend to rebuke my words, Elisaphah? The speeches of a desperate one, which are as wind. Yes, you overwhelm the fatherless, Elisaphah. and you undermine your friend. But therefore, be pleased and look at me. For I would never lie to your face, Lucifer. Yield now, and let there be no injustice. Go back on what you said. You didn't come here, and you didn't put me down. Why, you need to be lifting me up. Go back on what you said. And let there be no injustice. Yes, conceive. My righteousness shall stand, because I ain't did nothing wrong, Elizabeth. Is there injustice on my tongue, Elizabeth? Cannot my taste the same, the unsavory? What you're saying is unsavory to me. It cannot my tongue taste what you're saying is unsavory to me, to come in and try to put me down, to try to make me feel bad. I'm already feeling bad that I want to be cut off from the Elohim Yah. I don't need you to come here making things worse and accuse me of something that you don't know what you're talking about. But unfortunately, that's how some of us are. Contreras, my friend, what's your commentary?
You broke it down very well, man.
Okay.
The brother's name is Eliphaz. What you call
okay.
him?
Elisabeth. Elisabeth.
I love the way you're chopping these brothers' names up, man.
Yeah, I put a little southern twang on it. Elisabeth.
Eliphaz.
Elisabeth. I didn't know. Say it again, Katriel. What's his name?
Eliphaz. Eliphaz.
Eliphaz.
Eliphaz.
Okay, I'm going to try it, but I'm always proud to go back to Lucifer. Eliphaz. All right, Kadriel, my brother and friend. I'm going to bring our lovely Ima Hadura on, and we're going to continue on in our studies. Ima Hadura, may the Most High bless you, love. Your mic is
up. Love you. The Most High bless you.
May the Most High bless the both of you, giving all praise, hallelujah, to our Mighty One, for he is truly worthy to be praised. I tell you, and that's just our problem. We don't praise him enough. But the air should be ringing with our voices, praising our God, falling on our faces to tell him how sorry we are for what we've done, and ask that he remember our people. You know, but we're in the same pretty much state that Job was in. Job was flat on his back, and instead of encouraging and having compassion, his friends came there to put him down, point the finger. And that's exactly what Yah told us not to do, not to point the finger, and stop backbiting and tail bearing, you know. But we won't do that. But, you know, it's Yah's word. And I want to know if you guys agree with this. Yah's word is not complicated. If he has two commandments that we just seem to just gloss over, like no one really, really sit and meditate on it, pay close attention to it, think about it, you know, exactly what is it saying? When the Almighty says, don't add to his word. Don't take away from it. Don't turn to the left nor to the right of the order he sanctified and mandated and said that put it in place. If we were to stick to that, we would have no problem understanding the word of Yah. But where we come into play is, like Job's friend, they use their own understanding. Okay? But because of Yah's mercy and because of he's just so thorough in all that he does, he didn't leave it to us to try to think about it or try to question it or whatever. He gave precise details. So we need to all the guesswork out of it. Only thing we have to do is obey. But when it comes to obeying his word, we butt his word all every step of the way. Yeah, I know what it says, but. And that's where we began to lose our understanding. I love the story about Leah and Yaakov's wives. Really, Leah was held at fault because of the way that her father tricked Yaakov. But you know what? She did not give up. She loved her husband.
True be told,
and she got every way she could to let him know that she loved him. You see? But he loved Rachel.
But Ima, you know, mm-hmm. you provide food for a woman, clothing and a house and whatnot, and take care of children. A woman know when you don't love her.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, and to show you, I love Moray's commentary on it, that, you know, today is about the dowry. These brothers today be on social media bragging about how they turning their women to work while they can stay at home and stay on social media, huh?
Ooh. My.
Well, they meeting the women, they asking them what kind of welfare they getting, food stamps, huh?
I ain't lying.
So the government is providing our dowry. And the men are taking advantage of our bodies.
if they consider them kibbles and bits of dowry, I guess they is, Ima.
Yes.
There's something in the story of Leah that most people miss.
Bring it to our attention.
Okay, so we're dealing with the issue of the firstborn, right?
Okay.
Ishmael got a beef because he was Abraham's firstborn son, but no, he wasn't the one, right?
Right.
And we got Esau and Jacob. Esau's the firstborn, right?
Right.
But he's not the one, is he?
No.
No.
The Most High had a problem with the firstborn from the time of Cain, when Cain killed Abel. Why are you killing your little baby brother? You're the firstborn. Where's your brother? And what does he say?
Exactly.
Am I my brother's keeper?
Uh-huh.
So the Most High is throwing a twist on the male side where he's not selecting the firstborn.
Right.
Until he selects Israel. He says, Israel is my firstborn, even my firstborn. Then it comes back into play. As a matter of fact, he said, because I killed the firstborn of Pharaoh, now I'm going to take all your firstborn, which we have to redeem. When you have a firstborn son, you have to redeem your firstborn son. Otherwise, he would have to be like a priest to the Most High. So that was designated to the tribe of Levi, as we'll see as we go along. But the switch here is that the Most High showed favor on the female side for the firstborn. Because Leah was firstborn, right? And the Most High is looking at the situation and seeing that Jacob showing way more attention, too much attention, to Rachel. And he sees Leah's broken heart. So what does he do? He blesses her with children. And she realizes that she has a direct connect with the Most High, which is why she names her fourth son, her last son, Yehuda.
Mm-hmm.
I will praise Yah. It's not about my husband. It ain't about my sister. It's about our connection with the Most High.
Exactly.
So she got
it. You know what's even more profound, Moray, is that many of the sisters today who are lonely and really in need of companionship.
Yes, ma'am.
But there's a reason why the Most High said he's a husband to Israel, you know, and he loves the daughters of Zion. If they would just take the time to really get to know their God, he would take care of all their needs, and he eventually would send them the ones that would really meant them some good.
Well,
you know, Ima.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Godrea.
Yeah, we're reading the patterns of Yah's connection with our ancient mothers. The Most High heard Hagar when Sarah sent into the wilderness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, her son Ishmael. And what'd she do? She cried out to the Most High. Did the Most High hear her?
Yes, he did.
Oh, yes, he did. When Sarah was in doubt, did the Most High hear her?
Yes.
Oh, yes, he did. He said, Sarah, what are you laughing at? You're going to have a child. Watch. Did he hear Leah when she when she was brokenhearted.
He did.
Oh, yes, he did, because he answered her with bountiful blessings. Matter of fact, she had more children than her sister, Rachel.
Yes.
So,
you know,
when our women cry, the sisters cry, the Most High hears their prayer and their cry. And our sisters have to know that that's the most powerful weapon in the universe, and they carry it. Your tears and your prayer is more powerful than any weapon on the earth.
And, you know, I just want to let the sisters that are in the listening audience know you are special in the eyesight of your God. He loves you, and he wants you to be happy. But you've got to learn how to trust him. And you've got to look upon him as being your husband until Yah provides you with that special one he has waiting in the wings for you. Many of these brothers, and we can learn a lot from the lessons from our forefathers and mothers and their relationships if we take the time to really study the word of Yah and seek his guidance and direction. But today we're so caught up in the Western world and Hollywood style, you know, and I want to say to the sisters and to the brothers, you know, many of the brothers today refer to the sisters as being a whole. And the sisters, many of you carry yourself in that manner because you're trying to catch a man. But you guess what? You only catch what you present yourself to be.
Bingo.
You see, and brothers, the only way she can become a whole is if you make her one.
Bingo.
You said something.
She can become a whole by herself. You see.
You definitely said something important earlier. You said something earlier that was important when you said that the Most High commanded us not to turn to the right or to the left. That
yes.
We should obey his word. And therein lies the
yes.
problem, because we don't research or study meticulously like we do on a Real Talk for Real People blog talk show, Yah's word meticulously, which
true.
Is why people are quoting the New Testament and not what Yah said through the hands of the prophets in the Old Testament. Because if you really study what the prophets are saying in the Old Testament, you would see the holes in the New Testament.
I was getting ready to say, if you really studied the word of your God, you wouldn't even get to the New Testament.
There you go.
You see. That just a mere fact that the word says, don't add to the word of Yah. But if something new come along, and you wouldn't that be added?
That's why I call it a Bible. By means two. When you have two, that means you're adding. 1 + 1 equals a Bible. There's two different thoughts, two different gods, two different philosophies, two different understandings. Like you said, Yah said, don't add two. When you add one to the one, that makes a Bible, which is two. It shouldn't be a Bible. It should be just the Holy Scripture, the word of Yah alone, not the word of man, because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're not quoting Yah.
And yet we are upset the word of Yah for the word of man. Huh? And we're going to battle over it. You know, again, I just wanted to, with the subject matter of Leah, I love Leah. My heart goes out to her. You know? And but even though he loved Rachel, and you know, with all those multiple wives, it didn't bring him happiness.
No.
He had a lot of contention in his household, you know.
Yeah.
And that's when they were in their land. And you can only imagine what's going on today. Well, the brothers do have multiple wives. They just ain't marrying none of them.
True.
And they got an easy way out, you know, because they're in outspoken on this subject matter at many different functions and begging the sisters, please do not fall for the okey-doke that once he lay with you, you his wife. Because guess what? When he get tired of you, he walk away, no divorce, no nothing. He going on to the next one. And you left there holding the bag.
We're going to find that out. We're going to find that out with Dina, the sister of these brothers that are born by Zaku and Rhea and Leecha and Leah.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't just lie with somebody, don't make a marriage to you, okay?
No, it doesn't. But it does make a woman of ill repute.
Yeah.
You know? And what's even sad is that I want to say this too. There's been a lot of good women ruined by many of brothers that meant them no good in the beginning. I've had several, I know several cases where the young women were going to hold out to their marriage. They weren't going that route. Mm-mm.
Right.
And we got to get married first.
Right.
But on two occasions, the night before the wedding, they said, well, we're going to go on and do this thing, so might as well, you know, we just do our marriage, you know, section our marriage early because we get married tomorrow and go that route, and the brothers don't show up for the wedding.
Are you kidding me?
I lie to you not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm saying that we're both, if we just stop to take the time to know that we're both victims of this Holocaust, our men as well as our women, and we have got to stop fighting each other.
True.
Using each other. We've got to stop it. And, you know, if we don't think nothing of ourselves, how do we expect for someone else to think of us as
Amen.
Being anything? But, you know, so we've got to internalize. We know that we're sick. We know we've been hurt. We know that we are damaged people. And the only healing for us is through going returning back to our God. You know, Job, even in all of his sickness, he remained faithful to Yah. Faithful. And many times over what we feel understand, Yah is testing us.
Yes, ma'am.
As Maureen Cottrell says, on many occasions, this is the last go around. Ain't going to be no more after this one.
It's the final test.
This is the final test. Either you pass or you don't make it. Send me a video of what's going on down in Texas. They say that they, I'm sure you've seen the movie, The Birds. And
yeah.
The Birds, the movie, didn't have nothing on what was going on down there. And it was all crows.
The birds are attacking the people?
As far as the eyes could see, the people couldn't get out their cars. The sky was blocking with the birds, just all crows.
You know, I saw a documentary recently about crows. And when you kill one crow,
mm-hmm.
a whole flock of crows will come to find out and investigate how that crow died.
You know something? You know what? You're not lying. I can tell you why. I know you're not lying. We had a cat.
Right.
Tom.
Uh-huh.
Tom killed a crow. And it got so bad, Tom couldn't go outside anymore.
Hey, look at you know, hey, look at Cottrell. Y'all ain't lying, because I walked out my door, I think it was several days ago. I seen some crows in my front yard. And I saw a cat over there in the bush, and he was scared. I said, you did something.
Yes, every time Tom would go out, they would all swoop down and attack him.
Uh-huh.
And that happened for, I know Tom didn't go outside. He was scared to go outside for it. Tom,
I'm
going
to know food. He know he had messed up.
He killed that bird, and I'm telling you, every time we would go out, there'd be a whole line of crows on the power lines.
Yeah, there he is. That Tom here. Y'all know what to do.
And a minute Tom would go out, and they would swoop to you. I did to the TMRA. I mean, the sky was black. They were coming in waves. I think it was Houston. Down at the Walmart parking lot.
Oh, Houston. Okay. All right.
And I saw that here about a couple of months ago. No,
right.
It was longer than it was back in the beginning of the spring. And I was coming home from, I was coming to the new house, I was leaving the old house, coming to the new house. And as far as the eye could see, the sky was black, but it was sparrows. My imagination, but again, it was just coming in waves. I've never seen anything like that before.
Right.
So when I saw that, it made me think of Ezekiel. The 39th chapter where the Almighty says he's preparing the fowl and all the ravenous beasts that he's going to beckon for them to come to his sacrifice.
Yeah.
I said, is this the beginning of Yah beginning to call him for?
Well, he started with the locusts.
Yes. Yes. We're in some times like never before. And I'm saying to all of Israel, be as Job. Be faithful to your God. Trust him. Trust him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Don't worry about what your eyes are feasting on, because Yah's above all of that. That's why he tells us to be strong and of good courage and fear not. And know that he is with us. So Israel, all these idols that we down with, Yahshua HaMashiach and his majesty and Yahawashah and all of these other names, better let it go. Better let it go. Because at the end of the day, it's going to be Yah and Yah alone that's standing, being tried. This is our last go around. Yah's not taking this foolishness back into the land again. So we can do what we want to do, brothers. Y'all out there talking about y'all got 10 or 15 wives and ain't got a job taking care of none of them. Babies everywhere, not provided for any of your children. Know that Yah is watching. Know that he is watching and you have got to stop profaning Yah. Sisters, you have got to stop profaning Yah. We as a nation have got to stop profaning our God. Just want to say, be good to yourself, Israel. And the way to be good to yourself is return back to your God. Return back. Humble yourself. Accept your punishment. Our punishment, and that's another thing, we don't understand what that means. We don't even understand what our punishment was. Our punishment was, once we were cast out of our land, we lost our heritage. Our heritage was discontinued. And we became a bad word and a proverb and a curse and a ton and a hiss throughout all the nations. Once we were cast out of our land, all of the privileges that came with our inheritance, the Almighty took them all back. Told you in the beginning, where you what you were supposed to do, where you're supposed to be doing it, and how it's supposed to be done in a place so then he would get the glory. But we don't want to obey to this day, and we want to do everything that Yah gave us to do in our land that we didn't do, which caused us to be cast out of our land. We want to do it in the land of over here of our punishment, not willing to accept our punishment. Accept your punishment. Humble yourselves. That's where your strength rests. If we, as a nation in exile, I want you to hear me good, and I'm only giving you what Yah have shown me over and over and over again. We were to step outside of our doors tomorrow in a united effort. And it's for us to ask to see us taking a knee and telling our God we're sorry. Hey, everything come to an end at that moment. The heavens were open so that Yah could come forth and fight on your behalf. You cannot deliver yourself on your own strength, Israel. No man can deliver you because he can't deliver himself. No woman can deliver you. They can't deliver themselves. Only Yah can deliver us. We must turn back. We are covenant people. An everlasting covenant at that. We must turn back and do what our God told us to do. You say you want to be on the top, you're tired of being the tail, you want to be the head, then do what Yah told you to do. And all else would be added. All of this goes away because Yah going to come. And he say, I'm coming, but I'm not going to come as a man. I'm going to deal with all of you. So, Yansu and Brother Moray, keep up the good work. Keep bringing that word to us. Bring it to us so that they can understand how precious they are in the sight of their God.
We will, Ima. We're appreciative that you appreciate our efforts in doing so.
Oh, I just love you. I truly do. And I know in the listening audience, they love you too. And if they go back, if you read that word that these brothers are reading and you go along with it and you pray and ask Yah to open your understanding, guess what? You come to love Yah. You come to love Him with all of your heart, all of your soul, and then you really feel pretty bad so long.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Ima. I have to agree with you on that.
So get ready. Your president checked yourself out the hospital today.
The first thing
he did was to took off his mask.
Yeah, Dr. Trump. He started a new movement, Ima. Is death come back to the White House? It was a good one, Eva. Death returns to the White House.
The doctors were totally frustrated.
And I'm sure they're glad to release him from the hospital because he probably wasn't wearing no mask. He's just a walking toxic time bomb. Like, get this fool out of here. Send him back to the White House, please.
You talking about the walking dead?
Contaminate the whole hospital.
God said, Yvonne, if this ain't the Walking Dead, I don't know what
is. Listen, the doctor says he went out, he checked himself out yesterday.
Yeah,
he did a limo drive by to salute supporters. The doctor said, what is going on with the supporters? He jeopardizing everybody's livelihood, family livelihood. Just so
he
that he can wave to the crowd.
He don't care, Uma. Death returns to the White House. Live it, live in his living colors.
You heard what the Secret Service said.
What was that, Kadri?
He said, they said that he don't give a damn about us.
I believe it.
Yeah,
he
sure don't. They in that tight tank car he got. Can no air come in, can no air go out. They circulating that toxic coronavirus air in that tank car he got.
And Rona in there float like a butterfly. Steam at me. Rumble. Rona there swinging hard up in there.
And the concoction of drugs he's taking, man. Oh my gosh. I'm like,
I know, Gadriel. I know.
Y'all watch the commercials and the side effects that half the drugs they be pumping. Just the side effects alone makes you want to run from the cure. And they ain't got no cure in the medications that they're giving him. He's 74 years old.
It's just masking.
He's OB. Huh?
Right. Those cures are masking the problem.
Right.
They're not solving the problem. They're like the steroids. Steroids make the guy feel mental. And we can see, we are seeing this play out live and in living colors. It makes
you know
what
Proverbs says.
Yeah.
Proverbs said pride comes before a fall. So he's so prideful and arrogant that he thinks that he can challenge the pandemic to its face.
Like he Yah. I'm Yah.
Like he's Superman.
Damn, bro. Damn.
What Joe Biden tell him? Shut up, clown.
Joe Biden. Shut up, clown. You a clown. Shut up.
What people are not understanding now, even though Biden felt that way, they're still the president, the leader of this country, and the whole world is looking at this debate.
They think we're crazy as hell. They think America's crazy as hell.
Let me tell you this. Yah, when you look at this, you know that it had to be Yah. Because nobody could have put anything better than this together.
Hey, Ima, this is a 4-star script. Could nobody wrote this script but Yah. Yah wrote a 4-star script. It's going to win every Academy Award in the book, Ima. They're going to have to make a new Academy Award for this one.
Yes, baby. This is something else, I tell you. But y'all say he got it. He got it. And prophecy has to be fulfilled. And we're seeing it unfold at a rapid pace right before
our eyes. Living colors, Ima. Live and in living colors.
So I said my little piece for tonight.
Thank you, Ima. We love you. We love you, Ima.
I love you guys, too.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to read Isaiah,
okay.
The 44th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick.
Okay. It's about time you put in some work.
Yes. Work is never done.
You know, I love you, bro. You know, I'm a pick at you. I'm that brother that thinks at you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm a bypass the psalm and read the 44th chapter of the book of Isaiah, because this is God's message to us.
That'll work.
You know, to the four corners of Israel. He says, yet hear now, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith Yah, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Yeshurim, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants, and my blessing on your offspring. They will spring up on the grass like willows by the watercresses. One will say, I am Yah's. Another will call himself by the name of Yaakov. Another will write with his hand Yah's name and name himself by the name of Yisrael. Thus saith Yah Elohim, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, Yah of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. And who can proclaim as I do? Let them declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are to come and shall come. Let them show these to them. Do not fear, nor be afraid. I have not told you from that time and declared it. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? That's what the prophets are for. You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. So how are we witnesses? Because we witnessed the fact that when Moses said we're going into slavery by ship, we're going to be scattered to the four corners of the earth, we're going to lose our identity, we're going to be the tail and not the head. Yes, we bear witness. Yah's word is true.
Hallelujah.
Those who make an image, all of them are useless, and their precious things shall not profit. They are all their own witnesses. They neither see nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who would form a god or mold an image that profits him nothing? Surely all his companions will be ashamed. And the workmen, they are mere men. Let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up. Yet they shall fear. They shall be ashamed together, all you idol worshippers. The blacksmith with the thongs working one coal, fashioned with hammers, and it works with the strength of his arm. Even so he is hungry, and his strength fails. He drinks no water and is faint. The craftsman stretches out his rule. He marks out one with chalk. He fashions it with a plane. He marks it out with a compass and makes it like the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in his house. He cuts down cedars for himself and takes the cypress and the oak. He secures it for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants a pine in the rain, nourishes it. Then it shall be for a man to burn, for he will take some of it and warm himself. Yes, he kindles it and bakes bread. Indeed, he makes a god and worships it. So in other words, he's carving an image out of a tree. He's hungry, so part of it he uses to make a fire to make him some food. Yah is like, this is a fool. You just carved the tree into an image. You're going to worship that? Of it in the fire. With his half, he eats the meat. He roasts the roast, and he's satisfied. He even warms himself and says, ah, I'm warm. I have seen the fire. And the rest of it, he makes into a god, his carved image. He falls down before it and worships it. Prays to it and says, deliver me, for you are my God. Do they not know nor understand? For he has shut their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so they cannot understand. So people who do that, people who worship idols, the works of men's hand, what the Most High say, I'm shutting their eyes so they can't see, and their hearts so they can't understand. So you, it's like talking to a wall, Ema, or talking to a statue that you expect to get an answer from. Because the people are just like the statues that they worship.
They can't see them.
Yeah.
They can't see them.
They do not know, nor understand. For he has shut their eyes. Who shut their eyes?
The Most High.
Yeah.
You think your words going to open it? No, when Yah shuts them, only he can reopen it, can he?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And their heart. That's the most important part, because that's the inner vision. So they cannot understand. And no one considers in his heart, nor is there knowledge or understanding to say, I have burned half in the fire, right? Yes, I have also baked bread on the coals. I have roasted meat and eaten it. Shall I also make the rest of it an abomination? Shall I fall down before a block of wood? Yah is laughing at you. He feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside, and he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? So he lying to himself. He made a block of wood his God, and he can't deliver his soul. So the most important aspect of this chapter here comes here. Remember these, O Yaakov and Yisrael, for you are my servant. Who's your servant?
Israel.
You don't see nobody else's name up in there, do you, on this list that Yah's putting down? He put two names on the list, right? Jacob and Israel. For you are my servant. I have formed you. Again, he says, he reiterates what he said. He ain't got to repeat himself. You are my servant, O Israel. You will not be forgotten by me. We think Yah has forgotten us.
No.
What did Yah say? Jacob and Israel is not forgotten by Yah. I have blotted out, like a thick cloud, your transgression. So stop pointing the finger, Israel. Stop pointing the finger. How do you know that Yah hasn't blotted out our transgressions unless you still worship in that idol? And we can see Yah still got you blinded and lacking understanding, right?
Exactly.
So if you follow Yah, guess what he says? I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. The redemption is already done. We're not waiting for redemption. Yah is waiting for us to return to him to receive this redemption that's already there. Because he didn't say, I will redeem you. What did he say? Return to me. What we have to do, for I already redeemed you. Now, he ain't saying, I will redeem you. I already redeemed you. You already redeemed. Your sins are blotted out. Your transgressions are gone. As long as you walk in the path of righteousness, don't go back into your sins. But as long as you walk in the path of righteousness and you're following me and return, you have returned to me, got redemption because it's already set. Sing, O heavens, for Yah has done it. And they say he will do it. Why the heavens sing it? Because Yah already did it. He speaks from the past of what's to come, as if it's already done. Shout, you lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, you mountains, O forests, and every tree in it. Did you know that the trees can sing and shout?
Yep.
That's where they get the Wizard of Oz from, right? You see the trees talking. And
you let that wind get to blowing. You hear him talk.
Truth be told, you know.
So everything is incumbent upon us because Yah said we already redeemed. When we return to Yah, that's when the action is going to take place. What's going to happen? The heavens going to sing. The lower parts of the earth going to shout and break forth into singing. The forest of every tree in it. For Yah has done what? Redeemed Jacob. That's the most important thing in the earth and in the heavens, that Yah redeems Jacob. That's why people hate us.
Yep.
That's why people hate us, because they're all incumbent upon us, and they're keeping us distracted. They're keeping us away from this connection that needs to be made, us returning to Yah for our redemption that's already there, because we belong to him. He wants his property back. He said we are his what? What did he say we are? We're his servants. His servants have to return to him. He ain't calling for nobody else to return to him and serve him. He's calling for his people, Jacob and Yisrael. And he already told us about following these idols. Huh?
Right. I chose them. I didn't choose nobody else.
And that ain't our fault that Yah chose us. Why y'all mad at us? Do right and he may choose you too.
Yeah, he'll show you some love, but you can't get it. Put your feet on us, mistreating, abusing, dominating, sometimes killing us. You is locking us up for any old reason and putting drugs in our community and prostituting our women. You ain't going to get it like that. That's for certain.
And you know what? That's not going to stop.
Mm-mm.
These words right here that y'all speaking to us, no matter what y'all do, this is coming through.
No matter.
Right?
Whatever.
Doesn't matter. Whatever you try, this is going to happen. And y'all guarantees it, right?
Whatever, whatever.
So he says, thus saith Yah, your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb. Who formed us from the womb? Your mother and father, right? Your mother and father informed you in the womb.
Nah.
They didn't know whether he was going to be a boy or girl, short or tall, smart or dumb. The Most High knew. I formed you from the womb, right?
King Dawood said he knew me from the womb.
That's right. So Sarah didn't think she could have children from the womb, but Yah said, no, I'll put my creation in your womb. Did he do it?
He certainly did.
Yes, he did.
Okay, now, so we got to get the science down because we think we the ones that have Lord over our children. No, our children belong to Yah. He gave them to you as caretakers of the next generation of servants.
Right.
He says, I am Yah who makes all things. He made you, he made your mother, he made your father, he made the trees, the bees, the birds, the ants, the air, the water. Right? He can only claim that. Who else can claim that? I am Yah who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens alone. He said alone? Did he say alone? Because they got that triple action in Christianity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, he ain't talking that triple action here, is he? Mm-mm. I stretched out the heavens alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself. He's letting you know. There's nobody with me doing this. Who frustrates the signs of the babblers and drives diviners mad. Who turns wise men backward. Right? We're seeing that right now, right?
Oh, right.
The Most High done turned Donald Trump mad and backwards at the same time.
Well, that's what he is, mad and backwards.
And makes their knowledge foolishness. Now the people are confused. You don't know whether to listen to CDC, FDA, Mike Pence. Who are you supposed to listen to? Donald Trump. And he caught it. And he's in the most secure environment on earth in the White House. How you catch it? We supposed to listen to you? No, your knowledge is foolish. You're a fool.
You're a fool.
Yep. Especially when you put pressure on Yah's servants. And that's what he wants to do, right?
That's what he tried to do. What did he tried to do a right cross, and the Most High did a left uppercut.
Oh. Penetrated all his defenses, right?
They don't know what's really going on, Cottrell, truth be told.
They keep putting their hands on Yah's servants. Keep on keeping on. And you know what our King, our Father, our Creator is going to do to you, right? He created us. And you mad he created us? We didn't create ourselves.
True.
That's for sure. It says, who frustrates the signs of the babblers, and that's what these people are doing now, babbling, and drives diviners mad. These people who think they can prognosticate and just go ahead with their vision of the future. He said he turns wise men backwards, which is what we're seeing, and makes their knowledge foolishness. So don't trust these people. They want to come out with this vaccine real quick. And if you submit yourself, then you're submitting yourself to wise men who have been turned backwards, and the Most High has made their knowledge foolishness. Who confirms his word, the word of his servant, and performs the counsel of his messengers. So he didn't have one servant or one messenger, because that word messengers is plural, right? That's why we get the prophet.
Right.
Our people are looking for one so-called, quote-unquote, Messiah. When the Most High sends messengers, that we need to pay attention to what the message is. Because most of our people don't pay attention to the message. They either listen to the first five books of Moses, or you turn into the New Testament. Everything in between is fluff in their mind. But everything in between is way more than fluff, because we're reading what's in between right in these pages right here. How can you skip this chapter right here? Who confirms the word of his servant and performs the counsel of his messengers, who says to Jerusalem, you shall be inhabited, and the cities of Yehuda, you shall be built. Now that's futuristic, because that's not already done. He said, I will raise up her waste places, who says to the deep, be dry. I will dry up your rivers. Who says to Cyrus, he is my shepherd, he shall perform all my pleasures, saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple, your foundation shall be laid. It doesn't say that the temple will be built, but that the foundation of the temple will be laid. We already know that the temple is already built by the hands of the Most High or by his mellow king. We just got to lay the foundation and got to be worthy to receive that. So I thought this was a very important chapter because it's apropos to what's going on now. The Most High has shown us that we don't have to be afraid, that the heavens and the earth are waiting for us to return to Yah, And the Most High already got redemption plan for us. He's blotted out our sins and our transgressions. The ball is in our court. What you going to do with it?
Hallelujah.
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 Well, Cottrell, I erred in saying that you didn't put in the work, man. You put in 2 days worth of work on that one.
Yeah,
thank you, brother. But I want to ask Laura, our lovely Imam, I want to ask her some closing remarks. What's your closing remarks, Imam?
I broccoli back off of what Moray Cutfield just read, that this is the time now to get to know your God, because it's going to take your knowing Him to give you the courage to be able to stand.
Exactly.
And not be afraid. Don't go out there. We got a lot of foolishness out there on social media. They're getting the army together. They got their guns and whatever. And they're going up to the stores and they're closing the stores down because they're not doing the... They got the right idea, but it's the wrong land. You see, we're going to have to fight again. And Almighty, let's that be known, when we get back to our land, Yah is going to fight for us just as He did out of here. But once we get to our land, we're going to have to fight. So we're going to need our warriors there. You cannot bring righteousness to this land. This land is slotted for destruction, total destruction. It's not for us to set up camp here, Israel. It's for us to begin to prepare for our redemption, to get ready to leave this place. That means to gather ourselves together, put aside our differences and our craziness, and start pulling our resources, our intellect, our skills, our wealth, everything, so we can get ready to take it home and we can rebuild the place where Yah said it will bring eternal peace. So, listen, Israel, Brother Young Soo, and Moray Cottrell, come on every day, sharing the word of your God with you. Open your ears to hear. And for all of you Gentiles that might be out there listening, know that Israel is your salvation. Y'all, if you're sending your money over there to the Jews or whatever, that's not the route to go. They can't do nothing for you. It's Israel who you should be looking out for. May Yah be with you, Paul. May He heal the brokenhearted. May He give comfort to those who are grieving. May He give shelter to those that are without. And may He give food to those that are hungry. And we just ask that you return back to Yah, and He will provide all of your needs. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Ima. Cottrell, thank you, my brother. I mean, you put in work, brother. I got to get you on that one. And Ima, your commentary was right on point. And I'd like to piggyback off both of you. Let's put in work.
We don't piggyback, bro.
Well, let me just say in concurrence with my brother and sister that let us put in work and let us love our nation, love each other. Let us be a setting example for our nation and our other nations, that we would draw the Most High to all, draw all nations unto the Most High. That being said, listeners, we don't know where you're going, but you're finna get ready to get out of here. May the Most High bless you, direct and order your steps, and stop leaning to your own understanding. Come with us on these investigatory studies. And once you find out what you need to know, why don't you apply it? That's all we're saying. Don't apply what I said. And Cottrell said, don't apply what he said. And Imar Dora would say, don't apply what she says. And they are quite correct. We are quite correct. Apply to yourselves what the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub says. And stop leaning to your own understanding. We love you. May the Most High bless you. And direct and order your steps. Shalom. Good night.